worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let the heavens rejoice and the earth be glad. The God who created the world and fills it with life be with you all.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God of compassion, you have opened the way for us and brought us to yourself. Pour your love into our hearts, that overflowing with joy, we may freely share the blessings of your realm and faithfully proclaim the good news of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord.
Amen.
You may be seated.
A reading from Exodus. The Israelites had journeyed from Rephidim, entered the wilderness of Sinai, and camped in the wilderness. Israel camped there in front of the mountain. Then Moses went up to God. The Lord called to him from the mountain, saying, "Thus you shall say to the house of Jacob, and tell the Israelites, you have seen what I did to the Egyptians, and how I bore you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. Now, therefore, if you obey my voice and keep my covenant, you shall be my treasured possession out of all the peoples. Indeed, the whole earth is mine. But you shall be for me a priestly kingdom and a holy nation. These are the words that you shall speak to the Israelites." So Moses came, summoned the elders of the people, and set before them all these words that the Lord had commanded him. The people all answered as one, "Everything that the Lord has spoken, we will do." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Let us pray Psalm 100 responsively. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you lands.
Melinda, yes. Don't have that. We're planning to sing that.
You don't have that?
We're going to sing Psalm 100 together.
A reading from Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that sufferings produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that we will, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. The word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus, Simon the Cananean, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. The Gospel of the Lord. Well, I've decided that I am definitely in middle age. And it doesn't have anything to do with gray hair. Doesn't have anything to do with the certain number of birthdays that I have celebrated. But I have found out that I am in middle age because I have a regularity with reading the obituaries. I go online every morning and go to my hometown newspaper, glance at the headline, the front page, and then go to the obituaries, just like my grandmother did every day. So I've decided that I must be in middle age as well. Well, looking at the obituaries on Friday, I saw that Danny Billion had died. Danny Billion sat right across from me, across the aisle from me, on the day of my confirmation. And I always remember that day because it was a very faith-forming day for me. But let me tell you a little bit about Danny first. This is what his family wrote for the obituary. Daniel Martin Billion died suddenly on Thursday, June 12th, at his residence. His life was a profile of courage. He developed cerebral palsy shortly after birth and spent a lifetime showing others how to overcome adversity. He accepted his special condition in life with tolerance strength, and good humor. He was an inspiration and a messenger to all his family, teaching them to love, to forgive, and to accept themselves and others. Because, as Danny would always say, nobody's perfect. I remember sitting across from Danny on our confirmation day, and I said that that was a faith-forming day for me. I think that was the day that I really learned what St. Paul was writing about in the letter to the Romans. Back in the 60s, when I was confirmed, there were big confirmation classes. I think in my class there were at least 100 boys and girls in the church that day. And in my home church, the bishop always came for confirmation. And before the service started, the bishop would, we were all in the rows, lined up, girls on one side, boys on the other, and the bishop would wander in the aisle asking questions, and he would just ask you your catechism questions, and you had to know the answer. It had been drilled into us for a couple years by our confirmation teachers. And we were all very concerned. We were concerned about Danny because he was verbal, but it really took a lot of work to listen, to be able to understand what he was saying. And it was, but he always had something to say. And his spastic arm movements could be mistaken for an eagerness to know the answer. So we were worried. And in the rehearsal that we had the morning before the morning of the service, early in the morning, we were telling the pastor that we were afraid that the bishop would call on Danny, Danny wouldn't know the answer, and he wouldn't get confirmed. And the pastor said to us, confirmation isn't about knowing the right answers. It's about grace. It's about God's free gift poured out for all of God's children. It's not earned by your work. Grace isn't earned by your knowledge. Grace for Danny is as much as grace for the smartest one of you, the pastor said. And I've never forgotten that lesson about grace. And it really came back to me when I saw his name in the newspaper. Every Sunday from now until September, the middle of September, we'll be hearing passages from Paul's letter to the Romans. And I think the passage that we heard this morning is really a key to that whole letter. Jesus is our atonement, the sacrificial lamb who died for our sins, for the sins of the world. And it's because of Jesus that we have access to grace. Because of Jesus. Not because we know the answers in a confirmation class. Not because we have done so many good deeds. We have access to grace because of Jesus. Be honest. Do you know your PIN number for your ATM, or do you have to look? Do you know the gate code for your garage or for your gate, for your front door, or your car? You have a keypad. Do you know the code to get into your computer program for online checking? That was one thing Don forgot to tell me. So with the help of the bank, I was able to get into the program and change the number. But without that password, I had no access. I think that it's a way to think about Jesus as our password, as our access to grace. We can, thanks be to God for that gift of Jesus Christ. Who is our password? to God's grace that is poured out for us. Thanks be to God that that password is given to us, to people, that God uses people like Danny Billion to teach about grace, that he uses people like the 12 apostles to be sent to do his work, to proclaim the good news, to cure the sick, to raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons, and that he uses people like you and me to be his disciples and apostles, to be the students and the teachers, that he can use us to give that access to others, that we can be the conduit too. Last Wednesday, as most Wednesdays, I spend a couple hours in the morning with the group of pastors, Lutheran pastors in San Diego. And we always start, would you give me a glass of water, Betty? Thank you. We always start our time together with Eucharist and reading scripture, sharing communion. And last Wednesday, one of the pastors shared this reading from a book by an Irish woman named Flora McCarthy. I'm going to share this reading with you. Dear Sir, thank you for submitting the CVs of the 12 men you have picked for management positions in your new organization. All of them have taken the battery of tests. We have run the results through our computer and have also arranged personal interviews for each of them with our psychologists and vocational aptitude consultants. The results of the tests are included. We also advise you to study them carefully. It is the opinion of the staff that most of the nominees that are lacking in background, education, and vocational aptitude for the type of enterprise you are undertaking. Besides, they do not have a team concept. We have found ample evidence of jealousy and rivalry among them. Therefore, we would recommend that you continue your search for persons of experience and proven ability. Simon Peter is especially unfit. He is emotionally unstable and given to fits of temper, definitely not the man you would choose to head your organization. Andrew has absolutely no qualities for leadership. He's just a follower. The two brothers, James and John, are too hot-headed. Besides, they place personal interest above company loyalty. Thomas demonstrates a questioning attitude that would undermine morale. Matthew, the tax collector, is undoubtedly a man of ability, but would project the wrong image in an organization such as yours. James, son of Alphaeus, and Thaddeus have radical leanings, hence they are unsuitable. Therefore, there is one candidate, however, who shows great potential. He's a man of ability and resourcefulness, good with people, has a keen business mind, and has contacts in high places. He's highly motivated, ambitious, and responsible. That man is Judas Iscariot. We recommend him as your controller and right-hand man. We wish you every success in your new venture. Sincerely yours, Jordan Management Consultants. We laugh at that sort of writing, but I think it underlines the truth that St. Paul would applaud. Jesus called the apostles who had failure written all over them. And he calls you and me, sinners, who too often forget the password. Sinners who too often rely on their own resources. Sinners who have forgotten who it is who paid the price for us. Sinners who are called to be both disciples and apostles, learners and teachers. The gospel passage that we heard this morning ends with the sentence, "You received without payment, give without payment." Say it another way, God has given you everything that you are. You didn't earn it because you were the best in confirmation class, or that you never missed a Bible study, or that you showed up for church work day, or that you volunteered for a number of committees. God loves you as you are. This is a great gift. And if you open your heart, you will be filled with compassion, and you will want to give to others what you have received. You got it for free, and you give it for free. You are so loved by God that that generosity is the only response that makes any sense. What a great gift we have received. We have to share that. Jesus, filled with compassion and care, sent the apostles to tell the good news to the lost sheep, to tell it in words and in deeds. We too are sent to tell it in words and in deeds, to give what we have received in words and deeds. The words that God's most abundant, amazing grace has been poured out for all of us. And don't forget that password. Amen.